The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. As Jesus passed by a man born blind from birth, his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents have sinned. It is in this so that the works of God might be made visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which meant sent. So he went and washed and came back and was able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some of them said, "It is he." But others said, "No, it just looks like him." He said, "I am." So they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" He replied, "The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went there and washed and was able to see." And they said to him, where is he?" And he said, "I do not know."
He healed the darkness of my mind the day he gave my sight to me. It was not
to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on the Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and now I can see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And there was division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." Now the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and gained his sight until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight. They asked him, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How does he now see?" His parents answered and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We do not know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He can speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged him as the Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, "He is of age. Question him." So a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." He replied, "If he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know is that I was blind and now I see." So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" They ridiculed him and said, "You are that man's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from."
Let others call my faith a lie or try to stir up doubt in me. Look at me now,
The man answered and said to them, "This is what is so amazing, that you do not know where he is from, and yet he opened my eyes. We do not know that God listens to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything." They answered and said to him, "You were born totally in sin, and you are trying to teach us?" They then threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered them and said to him, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him. The one who is speaking to you is he." He said, "I do believe in the Lord," and worshiped him. Then Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind." Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin, but you are now saying, 'We see.' So your sin remains."
Ask me not how, but I know who has opened up new worlds to me. This Jesus does what none can do. I once was blind and now I see. I once was blind and now I see.
The Gospel of the Lord. So I'd like to talk about this morning's gospel in two parts. The first part, the miracle, and the second part about being blind and seeing. So let's look at the miracle part. There was a man who couldn't see. He was blind from birth. Jesus, being God, could have just gone up to the man and said, "See." And his sight would have been restored. So why did he go through the actions of getting some dirt, mixing it with his saliva, putting it on the man's eyes, sending him over to have them to wash in the pool, and having him come back? What's the reason behind that? Well, to me, the reason is the miracle had to have something to go with it. It had to have a physical aspect. When we heard about the woman at the well, the water in the Jewish area is a place where people gather, kind of like the Starbucks of its day, except they didn't charge nearly as much. So the man went over, he washed his eyes, and there were people who had known him all his life. And he's going, "I can see." He came back to Jesus and they're going, "Yeah, I don't think this is the same guy. He looks like him, but he's probably not him." So he went up before the scribes and the Pharisees and we had that whole dialogue. He said, "Why do you ask me again? I told you the first time. Do you want to become his disciples?" That line didn't go over very well either. So we had this physical aspect of the miracle. A similar aspect we have in the sacraments. For example, in the sacrament of baptism, there's the anointing, there's the pouring of the water over the child. So when I looked at this reading, I said there was a physical aspect. It wasn't just that Jesus could cure the man, but it was all those things about the curing. Okay, now the second part. I once was blind, and now I see. The nice thing about being a deacon, and being a married deacon at that, is as you prepare for a homily, you get to kind of run things off your wife, and she goes, oh, that's a good idea. I wouldn't say that. So I'd like to thank my wife, Candy, for this. So one of the things that she said was, talk about things in your own life, things that happened to you, things where you might have been blind and now you see. So that's what you're going to get. You're going to get three of those points. So the first one, don't you just love cell phones and hate them at the same time? Have you ever gone out to dinner and seen a couple or seen a whole family? Here, they're all sitting around the table and they're all sitting on their phone and they're all doing this and they're not talking to each other. They're doing that. They may take a bite of food. You ever seen that at a restaurant? Have you ever done that at a restaurant? I have. I've done it with my wife. She's on her phone. I'm on mine. No more. I'm not going to take my phone out from the time we sit down until the time we're done. So that's the first thing that I saw. The second one, a friend of ours lost her husband tragically a number of years ago. I didn't know how to go up to her and say, I don't know what to say. I'm sorry for your loss. So I didn't do it shortly after he passed. I didn't do it a week after he passed. I didn't even do it a year after he passed. Whenever I saw her, I'd look at her and go, I need to go over here, because hopefully she's not going to come up to me, because I don't know what to say. I still don't know what to say. But she came back and asked us to help her with a few things in her life. And for that, I'm grateful. That was my sin of omission. So if you know somebody who maybe have lost a loved one recently and you haven't been able to go up to them and say, I don't know what to tell you, maybe just go up and with them and say, I'm sorry for your loss. If there's anything I can do, please let me know. And the important thing here, it's never too late to do that. And the third thing, my red bag. So I used to have this great beat up Toyota pickup. It ran everywhere. I was going to Del Taco one morning to get breakfast, and it stopped right in the drive-thru. Fortunately, the guy behind me, it was a stick shift, helped me push it out of the driveway, and it sat. We went to get it fixed, and the guy said, no, I can't even. The engine will cost you about $5,000 to $7,000. And though I loved my pickup dearly, it wasn't worth $5,000 to $7,000. So one of the things I used to have in my pickup, and I had this back a number of years ago, is I would have something for the homeless. I'm sure as you get off an off-ramp anywhere, in fact, LA and San Diego, this part of Southern California, is now known as the homeless capital of the United States. So I used to have something in my car, in my pickup. And when it broke and I got my newer vehicle, I never went back to do it again. I don't know why. My sin of omission. So this morning when I was grocery shopping, thinking about today's reading, I said, we're going to start this again. So what I put together is in a large Ziploc, or you can use a little lunch bag, some water, some fruit, some other snacks, something in here, which is either can be tuna or chicken that you can make some sandwich spread and put it on a cracker. It's not a four-course meal by any means. But what it is, it's forethought. It says, I know that one of these days, I'm going to be getting off an off-ramp, and there's going to be someone holding a sign that says, I'm hungry. Can you help me? So this morning, I got up, I got off my derriere and decided it's time to go back to do that. So that's what's in this bag. And I promise you, I will continue to do this and have these available in my car always. So the thing I asked of you today, you don't have to have something in your car for the homeless, though it would be nice. Maybe you won't have to ask your spouse about a homily you're doing. But if you ever get that opportunity, it's awesome. Maybe there's someone you know who lost a loved one, and you never took the opportunity to tell them you're sorry for their loss. And if there's anything you can do, let me know. Maybe you can go take that person, you can go out to coffee together. Or if they're here at Mass, maybe go over and have a donut or get something from the St. Joseph's table. Because we all experience our own blindness. Some are big deals, some are little deals. And in this time of Lent, we can take that blindness and get rid of it and truly see.